The political debate that rages on between pro-life and pro-choice activists across the country has been documented from just about every vantage point hundreds of times. We routinely see news accounts of rallies, protesters standing outside of abortion clinics, pro-choice advocates who are trying to provide access to abortions. But we have a new documentary now that gives us an inside look at the tug of war between these two oppositional movements. The HBO documentary 12th and Delaware tells the story of an abortion clinic in Fort Pierce, Florida, and the pro-life counseling center that opened up shop directly across the street. It's a pattern that's playing out in many small towns and cities across the country, and this film really investigates the inevitable clash when you have two such opposing forces right across the street from one another. Joining us here in the studio are filmmakers Rachel Grady and Heidi Ewing. They co-directed 12th and Delaware. The film airs on HBO on August 2nd. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have to ask you first, and you must have been asked this a million times, why this subject? I mean, it's a subject which not only has been talked about and filmed many times before, but it's dangerous. I mean, you're opening yourself up anytime you say anything on the abortion debate.
Abortion is definitely a minefield. We call it the third rail of American politics. We all know this. And we wanted to make a film that, as you mentioned, would shed new light or a new perspective on what's considered an old issue. So what we decided to do was take a look at the nameless, faceless women who are in the throes of making a decision whether to have an abortion or to continue with their pregnancy. And so that's who we focused on in the film. And we were curious about those forces that can influence and impact that decision. And that's sort of where the core of our movie lies. And we hadn't seen that story told, and we hadn't seen that movie made. And so we thought maybe we could offer something new to the conversation.
And because they're across the street from each other, what you also see is the relationships between the people that are at both centers, which is endlessly fascinating. But I wanted to play a clip from the documentary. The pro-life center, which is called the Pregnancy Care Center, is supported, as I understand from the film, by a local church. It's run mostly by this one woman named Anne, and this is her training volunteers to work at her organization.
The abortion clinic in Fort Pierce is run by a wife and a husband. They are doing it because that's their paycheck. Clearly, our competition is the abortion clinic. We are actually on opposite sides of the street. You know, abortion clinic, pregnancy care center, you know, darkness and light. You know, death and life. I mean, it doesn't get more distinct than that.
That's her talking about the husband and wife across the street. Do they have a lot of interaction?
Not direct interaction, but the abortion clinic has protesters that are close to Anne and that sort of report back to Anne that are there every day that they're doing abortions. So she has a direct link to them. She exists. I mean, the location exists there because of this abortion clinic.
Right.
You know, she picked them. She is an activist and she's, for the pro-life cause. But these two people, this couple that own this abortion clinic, are the focus of her entire life's work.
Right. And that focus doesn't seem to go the other way. They don't seem to be as so laser focused on her across the street as she is on them.
They've been there for 20 years. They've been in this exchange, in this tension for 20 years. And I think that the abortion providers feel like, listen, we're just here to do our job. And, you know, we don't have the time or the energy to focus on them.
Right. These aren't doctors. These are the people who run the clinic.
Correct.
Well, as we said, there's this odd relationship between the two centers. There is another clip from the film. This is Candace. She's the woman who runs the abortion clinic across the street with her husband. And here she is talking about this interaction with the pregnancy care center across the street.
They are relentless. They never stop. I mean, they don't have a life. Evidently, they don't have a life. I mean, every once in a while we think about, we go do a protest on their corner of the street. But we don't have time. We're too busy raising grandkids and kids and working and making a living and living our lives. We're not obsessed with them.
And, you know, one of the things that's really kind of fascinating about this film is not just the look inside of the pro-life clinic, which is a perspective you never really seem to see other than the headlines or these protests, but also in this abortion clinic, I don't get the sense that these people are doing this for the money. I mean, they have a mission too.
Well, there's certainly a lot easier ways to make a living than own an abortion clinic. And that came up several times, that conversation while making the film. I think Candace, who runs the abortion clinic, it began as a business. She was working in an abortion clinic. She ended up running one, and it is how she makes her living. However, at this point, she's also become an activist who's down with the cause and believes that if she walks away, if she closes her doors, one, the pro-lifers across the street will have in some way won. And number two, I think she feels that who's going to take over for her? If she leaves, if she walks away, who's there to replace her? And I think that's something that's happening right now. Most of the doctors performing abortions are in their 50s and 60s. She has a hard time finding people who want to perform abortions. No one wants to do this work anymore. So I feel that, you know, Candace says that she felt compelled to stay open and stay there and run this business, which is very fraught with tension and stress, of course.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that tension and stress. The women who sometimes come in to get services, they often mistake the pro-life center for the abortion clinic because it's called a pregnancy care center, which is a little bit ambiguous. So let's play a clip here that describes how the pro-life group attracts the women who are actually looking for abortion. Here's Anne speaking again.
When she calls and she says, do you do abortions? I say, are you calling for yourself or are you calling for your friend? She says, I'm calling for myself. Because if she calls and says, do you do abortions? And I say, no. Click. They're not always sure who they're calling anyway. They don't know if they're calling us or the abortion clinic.
Well, that sounds deliberate. That sounds as though they're deliberately fudging the lines there to try and get some of the women who are looking for an abortion to instead go to the pro-life center.
They're being evasive.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if they are pushed and asked direct questions, I think they will give a direct answer. But I think that they rely on the fact that a lot of the women that are calling are in a moment of crisis and are vulnerable, usually not telling other people in their life that they're pregnant, usually underage, young, and in this town, not particularly educated.
Fort Pierce, Florida.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, they can get a lot of women to go in.
So what did you come away with? I'm not going to ask you for political opinions because, believe me, I don't think that's really what the movie in the end is about. But I'm wondering, after all that you guys have grown up hearing about this debate and about sometimes vicious and violent protests, sometimes very ugly discussions between these two sides, what did you come away with?
I was very, very surprised at the stigma that abortion still has for young women and the shame factor and how women would be in the crisis pregnancy center or in the abortion clinic alone, or they haven't told their mother, they hadn't told their boyfriend, they hadn't told their husband, they would cover their faces. It seems that the culture wars that have been raging in the last 10 to 15 years, it's tipped a bit. And I believe that anti-abortion forces have been successful in stigmatizing abortion further than maybe it even was in the 70s and 80s. That was a shock to me. I was endlessly surprised how the women felt when they had chosen to have an abortion. And that concerned me a little bit about this issue and where we're headed.
Well, you can get a look at exactly the tactics both sides are using in this film. It's a totally fascinating documentary. It's airing on HBO on August 2nd. It's called 12th and Delaware. The filmmakers are Rachel Grady and Heidi Ewing. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having
me. Thank you.
Tomorrow we preview another documentary, Countdown to Zero, and we'll talk to the voice behind it, Valerie Plame, the former CIA agent who was outed under the Bush administration. That's tomorrow. I'm Celeste Headlee.
I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.